Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. Through an art and activist practice, he is deemed a radical ritual. Performer Reverend Billy Talon of New York's Stop Shopping Choir is seeking to re-evolve popular conceptions of protest in the era of Trump, shirking more potentially predictable examples of civil disobedience, characterized by some as being tame, particularly in the ever-growing face of fear-mongering and oppression nationwide. Using a variety of performative and, of course, proto-religious techniques, Talon and his radical performance community seek to affect social change through these actions.
Do I hear a sound? Beware from the rocks, from the ground, in the air.
Devastation. They privatize the nickel dime. Our lives were gasping to survive the worldwide plantation. Our water, air, land, homes, jobs, food, schools, and books. Who snuck and took it? The Wall Street locust it, picking our bones and our scabs just like a vulture, while spreading the scourge of global monoculture. Cause they want you a consumer, dazing in a stupor, apathetic, sedated, and politically neutered. Or you can be a real citizen.
On June 22nd, in New York City, I joined Reverend Billy, members of the choir, and participants like myself for one of their radical rituals at New York's Trump Tower, a newfound protest tradition that he describes as free riding gatherings that take place on the tower's fifth floor terrace. Where the city mandated a public garden, we express our intimate privacy in the shadow of evil. This may be the seat of all change, of revolutionary change, said Reverend Billy. Indeed, the shadow of evil, or at least some manifestation of it, was present as we took our posts on the fifth floor, prepared to share and create as an act of defiance and reflection, as a way to find new strategies to shift culture. The building's ventilation system made itself known in what felt like particularly pointed fashion, droning loudly on and setting an ominous tone despite all the positive energy present. Nevertheless, creativity prevailed, accentuating a disturbing location with vibrancy, determination, and resistance, embedding it with some much-needed political urgency. Here are some moments from the experience.
Savitri D., the director of the Church of Stop Shopping, and myself, we had this inclination to go inward after years and years of parading and singing and screaming and being exterior in our presentation. We're feeling like that kind of protest is simply anticipated and matched by the right wing and demonized. You know, the people at Standing Rock are called an insurgency by the paramilitaries working for the oil companies. I don't want to say that we've been defeated out there in the world of protesting. I'll be devoted to it the rest of my life, of course, but we felt that a dimension, a spiritual dimension, an intuitive dimension, an inwards feeling is missing. And when friends started pointing out to us that there's this community garden that is up in, required by law to be remaining open to the public, up inside on the fifth floor of the Trump Tower, we started coming up here and writing. We're just writing the first thing that comes into us. We're asking our bodies and our souls to, what are we thinking about here? A lot of us are mystified by this entertainment fascist who's been raised to this position of power. What's going on inside? And are the things that we have inside a source of power for a new kind of protest? The first thought that you might have, which you just did it, St. Sabrina, you just did it. Sabrina's a saint in the Church of Stop Shopping. Full disclosure, she's been awarded sainthood.
A huge honor, I might add.
You know, Emma Goldman is famous for saying that all revolutions start with two or three people sitting around a table talking. We just let these recovered memories, these thoughts, these meditations come into us. We don't set it up ahead of time. We don't say what will happen. We don't dictate to ourselves. We let the stuff flow out of our fingertips and we write it into notebooks. That may be the source of a new kind of power for us. They may not notice us garnering the force. Use a Star Trek phrase. Not Star Trek. Star Wars.
Get
my pop references mixed up. Yeah, something else is going on here. This is our fourth week and we're definitely feeling that other people are recognizing something. And it is not easily explained. It's not...
This is my first time joining this radical writing of yours and Savitri D's, and it is quite interesting. I mean, it makes me think of a walking meditation, of these kinds of spiritual practices that do take us inward, mm-hmm. and wondering, questioning, what is the significance? Where is the power? Is this a way to create possibly some sort of impactful response to where we are right now? Having just written with you and with the others here participating in this, I immediately started going to mythology and kind of these fairy tale sort of iconic figures like Rapunzel, right? Being trapped in a tower.
We were thinking about Rapunzel when Melania lived above us here and Baron. We were thinking, well, that's the prodigal son. He's got to get out of there. And of course, the trophy wife in the castle tower is one of the oldest mythic stories. It's the basis of the Western canon. It's the basis of our novels, Jane Eyre, and so forth and so on. Take care now.
I'm Judy Simonian, and I'm very happy to be here. I think it's just fabulous. I read about this, and it's wonderful that we're utilizing the space in a very positive way.
Well, it just felt the environment here with all the black walls and that we're imprisoned, and then the buildings towering over us, you can't see the sky. And then the poor Japanese maple trees aren't thriving.
I was just visiting New York because I used to live here, and it was just an honor to do this in the dark tower of Trump with the Reverend Billy and the whole group.
My name's Susan Young.
Susan Young, thank you. What's your name?
Hillary Maslin.
Hillary Maslin.
Susan, bye now.
I did think of these Japanese maples trapped. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Let me get closer.
I wrote about them. Maybe it was Susan being here. I'm not sure. You never know why you write about something, you know.
Please join us. I'd love to include you.
Here, have a seat here.
This is Sabrina Artel from Trailer Talk, and she's one of the few press people to receive sainthood in the Church of Stop Shopping.
All right, yeah. Mazel tov.
Thank you. Seriously, a great honor, really. a magnificent honor. So we're talking about this.
Fran,
hi.
Can you stay a minute? Or do you have to run? If you have to run, you can run in place. Fran.
I'm Sabrina.
Susan,
you're welcome to join.
And Jonathan.
Hi.
And Mrs. Teodoros.
So I also wrote about these Japanese maples here that are not thriving, they seem trapped.
I wrote that.
You did too. So let's.
Me too.
Yeah.
The Japanese maples took over you.
What's your name?
Susan.
Susan. So right now we're in this legally required public space, this terrace on the fifth floor of the Trump Tower. And we're here for Reverend Billy's radical writing session that you co-created with Savitri D. This is what we're talking about. So your experience, what you were writing about, why you came.
I came because Jonathan actually has been coming to a couple of these, and it worked out, yes. And I mean, really, I was focused on the environment, and I sort of took it from Billy's original sort of, you know, in the Devil's Tower, and thinking about the shiny glass and the darkness and what secrets are hiding behind it, and the people who have to wash the windows and make them shine, and you know, looking up and trying to find signs of interaction and engagement with our environment in the windows and the lack thereof, and the trapped maple trees in these like small containers, and how they're not thriving in a concrete garden.
Well, and what struck me is how it feels very dingy and dirty to me.
Grimy.
Yeah, I'm from a Dutch heritage, and I have an ethnic revulsion at grime. And I had a big old coffee stain in the middle of my writing over there, and it bothered me the entire time. So I wish I had some Dutch cleanser I could have taken. I also wrote about the Japanese maples. They're trees. And trees in an ecosystem where they live together are host to hundreds and hundreds of species of animals and insects and bacteria, and they are exposed to the elements, and they clean gases out of the air, store the gases, burn the gases. They need to be in the sky, and the sky, it turns out, because those gases, among those gases are CO2, the sky needs the trees. So this thing that is one of the most traditional sources of human culture's beauty, the tree and the sky, right? They are actually locked in an embrace of life. We, Western white scientists, only figured this out a few years ago when research about CO2 became much more on our minds as we sink into the sixth extinction. Amen. But one can't help but feel that the earth cultures would know intuitively that the tree needs the sky and the sky needs the tree. That's just their basic singing. That's their loving prayer to the spirit. Another example of our science, as it becomes too late, is just catching up to our prehistory for hundreds of thousands of years that predates the Industrial Revolution. Amen? Is that like tortured English? Did I just lose you all? You know, well, in Radioland, am I making sense?
We're still with you, Reverend Billy, here on the fifth floor of the Trump Tower.
We know where we're sitting. We're surrounded by 12... We were 12 writers today, surrounded by 12 Japanese maples, and at least two of us were writing about the maples.
I was too.
Three of us, so 25% of us at the very minimum. What about you, Jonathan?
I was working on a love story. Middle of all this,
what's the matter with you? What have you got against trees? Trees love. We know trees. Trees have emotions. We know that.
Not to look down my nose at the love for trees.
You are looking down your nose at me at this very minute. That's exactly what you...
It's just a question of angle. But I wanted to compose a love story between two people whose loves might not be encouraged within the world of the Trumpistas.
Uh-huh.
I felt that was sort of the necessary resistance to be composed here on the fifth story garden.
This is on the weekend of the Pride March and the Drag March.
Yes.
And the Dyke March.
And the Dyke March.
Certainly, we're in the kind of a site of inequalities, right? Injustice.
The attack that takes place when the walls go up is general. It's, we think immediately of race and gender violence, but it's all the progressive justice issues at once. If you start separating people from people, people from nature, nature from nature, the raising of just fear of the other to this level of American USA religiosity with the president preaching. It's a very sad, sad, sad day for us. But, you know, we're starting over here. And when you just have your body and soul come onto the page and you don't know what you're gonna write, you're at the very inception of culture. You're at the very beginning of power. All these enormous institutions that were surrounded here, and if radio people, if you can imagine, we're at 56th Street and 5th Avenue. We're on a kind of a balcony of fake pink granite and little Japanese toy trees. And we're looking up at big banks, Payne Weber, UBS, just enormous skyscrapers. What?
IBM.
IBM right there. And the mystique of total power in which the buildings are walls. The buildings give us nothing. They do not communicate at all. Some of the really old ones over here, you can see from the earlier part of the 1900s, you can see some satyrs and earth nymphs around the corners of the, there's still some obligation to communicate with the outside, but this is simply, I have power, you don't. That's the only statement that's happening here.
It's also a prison. Like, this feels like a prison. Like, just as it might be a little oasis, supposedly, it feels, we're trapped. We're trapped between these walls. Nobody knows we're here. We can't necessarily easily get out. People can't come in.
I feel that as well. And also, coming up in onto this kind of fifth floor plaza, past machine guns, past Secret Service, past private security, cameras everywhere. It's very dimly lit on our way up to this
gold
terrace.
Gold mirrors, right? Gold. Donald Trump's single emotion of wanting to be the richest man is this five floors of that one notion. It's aesthetically his statement, I want to be rich, and I'm rich. You're in my house, you know.
Yeah. Right. It's also, I'm just wondering, does this feel like then the potential for a transformation, for a kind of a rebirth? Or, you know, I really struggle between having that hopefulness about that belief in these acts of resistance, and then also such deep grief and sadness.
Well, like Fran and Teo are in the Stop Shopping choir. And our job is to, if only for a moment, for people standing there, sitting there, clapping along, to believe from our harmonies, from the beat, from our raised voices, that it is possible to start over just with who we are. The biggest institutions looking back at us with their go to hell powerful designs here, they all started with just a thought. Just a conversation. No entrenched power was always entrenched. That's all a miracle. And their idea is that we've got the power, we're gonna keep it. And we're gonna make you feel so powerless that you don't think power is something that's possible for you. Yesterday at the Lower East Side Girls Club, we really felt that power was possible for all of us. We were at a tremendous power making. Am I right, Fran? Tell us about that a little bit.
Yesterday we had the privilege to sing with these girls, and it was a beautiful session, right? They sang first, then we sang together, and then we sang to them.
We sang about the walls coming down, burying borders, washing out borders, burying walls, and lots of those folks were the children of very recent, you know, people who've come here. Many of them had relatives and friends victimized by
trumps immigration correction enforcement, ICE, police, and singing together, we were just all crying, you know. But in that, just singing the phrase, washing out borders, burying walls, love at the gates, we were able to, I think we became believers, right?
If you could share the inception, the kind of the genesis of the radical writing again, and you and Savi, kind of the potential of that, why you have been coming.
You know, yesterday I met with Teo and Killian from the bass section. They want to make a documentary about this as we do it through the months. They wanted me to give them motivations, obstacles, narrative pivots, and they wanted a structure for this story. And the look on their faces when I said, well, the question is the answer in this case. That's a tough thing for you know, for us to, we want causality, don't we? And we want results. And Savi and I know that as protesters going back 20 years, 25 years, we know that protesting has reached a certain exhaustion point, that they seem to know what we're gonna do before we do it. Even when it's the Women's March and there are a million people stopping Washington, D.C., something about that is not working. Something about that exteriorization all the time has been outflanked forever by this entertainment fascist. A new creativity in our activism is necessary, and we may not know what it is yet. So let's just let our bodies and souls respond to the devil's monument here, and to the life we feel in being here together with each other. We're like as seeds here in the garden. We're giving the Japanese trees, we're giving them an ecosystem again.
Anything else you'd like to share?
I think for me, what I was thinking about in the act of, and part of what I wrote was that it was about this silent protest. And originally I wrote wordless protest, and then I was like, no, it's actually not wordless. It's clearly I'm writing. And it was, I think, to Billy's point, a way of reconnecting how my mind and my agency can connect with the bigger world, and in a way where a protest march and a collective action, I think, still very powerful, but in terms of its ability to change society and culture and be a form of protest, needs to be supplemented by many different forms of protest and creating that on an ongoing basis.
Thank you, Susan.
So my name is Francisca, and yeah, I just sat down and I started writing, and I guess what came out was I wrote a little bit about privilege, and then I wrote a lot about guns. And then I ended up writing about the Acer japonicos, the trees. But it was kind of like very different, because I felt a connection to these transplants, because they're such a transplant, and I am a transplant too. And this particular tree was a tree that my grandma planted in her garden, and then my mother loved it when she saw it there, and she planted it in our garden. So I was just thinking about these transplants and the idea of purity, white purity, and like, and we're moving so much, and like, what is originary anymore and what is a transplant? It's a very weird line. And I also wrote a little bit about this nonsensical accumulation of wealth and how we seem to be back. Seems like the French Revolution never happened. We're back in monarchic times with worse air quality, though.
Back in monarchic times with worse air quality.
And another thing also I wrote a little bit was, I mean, the world is like really but at the same time, you walk around and there's so much love that held everything together. Actually, hate is an anomaly. If you walk around in the street, I mean, there's not every day a guy running with a car like killing people. That doesn't happen all the time. It's more, most time people are loving each other, and there's this beautiful balance of strangers in the street that are not beating each other up. So I was just also, after writing a lot about guns and about this accumulation, I started thinking about that other, like, big part of the world.
Amen.
All that I would add is just how good it is to see so many people generating their own narratives at the same time in the same place. the awful changes that have been taking place this year require stereotyping and dehumanizing of one another to actually take place. And the more our narratives are generated, the more impossible it becomes to dehumanize and to stereotype. Jonathan.
Amen. I'm Billy.
Thank you. Anything else?
Earthaluyah!
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 Thank you. Billy and members of the Church of Stop Shopping, of Earthaluyah, other participants who have come for this radical writing session on the terrace of the fifth floor of the Trump Tower in New York City. It's Thursday, June 22nd. It's the evening. And thank you all. Thank you so much. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. To find out more, please go to revbilly.com and taketrumptower.com. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Also, Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir, Revolution, and We Are the 99%. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel and assistant producer Babe Howard. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.